My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Valentine's Day is around the corner, and love is in the air. But what about those still looking for love, or trying to spice up a relationship that's lost its spark, or even those trying to find the most elusive love of all, self-love? In his 1993 hit written by Jim Steinman, Meatloaf sang, "I will do anything for love, but I won't do that." I always wondered what that referred to, and there's been a lot of speculation. But what if that had something to do with energy work and magic? Can magic bring us the lover of our dreams, refresh a love that's grown cold, or even help us to find the love within? My guest this evening, Lilith Dorsey, has researched these questions with passion and experience for years. Lilith is a magical practitioner and voodoo priestess with training in several traditions, including Celtic, Afro-Caribbean, and Native American spiritualities. She owns her own magical consulting business, Brandwin's Pantry, and is editor and publisher of Oshun African Magical Quarterly. She's the author of Voodoo and Afro-Caribbean Paganism and the African-American Ritual Cookbook, and she's a blogger on Pathos. She has a degree in anthropology from the University of Rhode Island and a Master of Fine Arts from New York University's Tisch School of the Arts. She joins us this evening to share her new book, Love Magic, over 250 spells and potions for getting it, keeping it, and making it last. Please join me in welcoming Lilith Dorsey. Good evening, Lilith.
Oh, good evening, Victor. It's so great to be on the show.
And great to have you with us this time of year when we're all thinking about love. So when we welcome a guest to Destination Unlimited for the first time, we always enjoy hearing about their path. Please share with our listeners your path to magic.
Oh, well, it was definitely an eclectic one, but I really think that, you know, my scholarship and also my family really pushed me for it. You know, when I was an undergrad in anthropology, I had a professor who was like, there's no such thing as magic or divination or spirits in this country. He was very, I don't know, straight-laced, I guess you could say. So I kind of really wanted to challenge him because I was already into divination, tarot cards, and other types of magic like that. And, you know, some early Wicca. I used to hang out here at Magical Child in the city and, you know, some of the other stores. And, you know, I really wanted to just prove him wrong and show him that there was this whole other side to culture that he was missing. And then shortly after, I became pregnant with my girls and I really wanted them to have positive, you know, African-American role models to look up to. Women, you know, a religion that's run by women and has a ton of goddesses in it. It's a beautiful thing. And I wanted to be able to share that with them in a respectful and accurate way. And I really, you know, we're talking, my oldest daughter's 26 now, you know, it was a little while ago, so yeah. there was a lot less out there than there is now.
Let's go back a little further. As a child, were you finding things that you were experiencing that other people were not?
Oh, definitely. I always felt a really strong connection, again, to the goddess. You know, I was writing about this the other day. When I was 4 years old, they made me the Virgin Mary in the religious Christmas nativity play, and they gave me a real baby.
Wow.
And I think about this now. I'm like, wow, they gave a four-year-old a real baby for a two-hour show. The thing was long, you know, and I had the baby the whole time. But to me, it was just a sort of a connection to the divine feminine, you know what I mean, to the circle of life, I mean, for lack of a cliche or for want of a better cliche.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned encouragement by members of your family. Is this something that runs in your family, these traditions?
My family's always been spiritual people, all the different sides of my family. My father's family is Native American and African American, and they were always spiritual people, mediums and other things like that. A lot of hoodoo practices went on. And my mother's family is Scottish and Sicilian, and there were a lot of Sicilian witches in the cabinet. And my Scottish family motto, clan motto, was "All our faith is in God." Now, if you think back, you know, 1,000 years, we're not talking about the same kind of God that people are talking about when they talk about today. So I think it's really fascinating, actually.
You had some kind of a mixed background there, all of those different traditions all together. What a blessing to have all of those in your life at such a young age.
It is. And, you know, the older I get, the more I discover about it. You know, it's like a fountain of knowledge that can come from the past.
Absolutely. Now, what was your spiritual training, your formal spiritual training like?
I started out with Priestess Miriam of the New Orleans Voodoo Spiritual Temple. I just heard from her today. She's such a beautiful and lovely woman. And that was maybe about, I want to say, 25 plus years ago. And I started training with her. And she runs a very, at the time, she ran a more eclectic temple because her husband's a Belizean Obeya man, her husband at the time, Ashwan, who she started the temple with. And there were two other priests at the temple who've since passed, but they were Cuban Lucumi Santeros. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of Santeria that went into my early training. And then, you know, their New Orleans style practice. And then I went on to study with a Haitian Gros Mambo, Bonnie Devlin, who a lot of people know better. Well, for two reasons. One, because she's a master drummer, and the other one, because she's a Unitarian minister who was trained at Harvard. She's a wonderful woman. And then I have a Lukumi Santeria priestess, who's also fantastic, who I've been studying with for over a decade.
Wonderful. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, where I'm sitting right now.
You and I are both Brooklyn natives. I also grew up in Brooklyn, and I think Brooklyn is the center of the universe, actually. I think people don't realize that, but Brooklyn, and there's so much in Brooklyn in terms of diversity of culture and background, and people just living side by side in this diversity, this wonderful diversity, and sharing that culture together. And I think Brooklyn should be a model for the rest of the world.
It's true. You know, when you think about it, Brooklyn has more churches than anywhere else in the world, like per actual space, yep. Which I think is fascinating. And then also you think about 1 in 5 people in the world has lived in Brooklyn at one time or another.
That now, I
that's
didn't know.
Like, wow. Like, that's, come on. Like, everybody comes through here, man. It's like, if you sit still, it'll all go by.
So I'm right in saying Brooklyn is the center of the universe. I think that's a pretty accurate description.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, on a lot of different levels.
Now, when you were doing your formal training with all of these wonderful teachers, how did that connect you to the energy you experienced as a child?
I think it refined it, which is something that I think people miss today by doing it themselves. You know, it was really valuable to me to be able to study with women that I love and respect and still love and respect today. You know, so that was very different. It's like when you're a kid and you're trying to make a cake or a recipe or something, you know, if you have somebody there to show you, okay, this is what you do now. And when it looks like this, this is what you do next. It's going to come out a lot better than if you just try and read the recipe and make it up and figure it all out yourself without those skills. So I think it gave me extra skills and knowledge and depth and practical experience. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Now, you mentioned how you wanted your daughters to have this wonderful experience and heritage. A lot of people have children who have gifts and are born with gifts. And speaking as one who had that experience and was told that it's your imagination and stop imagining things and focus on the real, and being told that what I was experiencing was unreal. What do you say to parents who have children who are emerging with a sense of energy and a sense of this wonder that surrounds us? How do you, what would you tell parents to do to support those children?
I would say to them that, well, first of all, again, love and respect your children. And I think I spend a lot of time with children, and I think that every child has its strengths. Now, your child may have strengths that sound a little bit more unusual to you, but they're still a strength, and I think you should value that. So, you know, we have to give it the benefit of the doubt and let them nurture those talents, because that's part of the beauty of childhood and part of how we grow and how we understand things. So I think that, you know, they should just encourage them in whatever way possible. Maybe they can't understand it, but they can try and access it in a different way. Like, I teach a workshop about tarot where each of the tarot cards has a food and an essential oil and a crystal and a musical note. So maybe you can't access it through a card or looking at a picture, but you know how you feel when you eat a certain, you know, I mentioned Brooklyn, the moon card is the half moon cookies, which is a Brooklyn thing that Victor will know about.
Absolutely.
But how do you feel when you eat that kind of cookie? That's the energy of the moon. That's the energy of the card. And you can access it that way.
And the truth behind this all is you love your children and encourage them and let them find for themselves. Let them work with what they've gotten. If you need someone to assist you in that, there are wonderful teachers around like Lilith who can help them and help them bring out their innate gifts and their innate talents that otherwise might be put down. And never put your kids down, ever. That's the one thing that, as those of us who had that experience will tell you, it takes a long time to get over. Love them as they are, and give them all the encouragement and teaching and training you possibly can.
Definitely. I agree 100%. I think that's part of how we grow as humans and as individuals.
Absolutely. Now, who or what inspires you?
Oh, there's a lot of things that inspire me, but I think, you know, again, young people inspire me all the time. You know, the beauty of youth, the wisdom of it all, the way they see things and the way they unpack things and the way everything really truly is magical when you're having a conversation with somebody who's 2 years old.
Absolutely, because that's the essence. Their world is magical, and until we take that away from them or put them into a different path. My guest tonight is Lilith Dorsey. She's the author of the book Love Magic, over 250 spells and potions for getting it, keeping it, and making it last. And we'll be back with Lilith and more of her wonderful work after these messages on the OM Times Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food. We've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food. Because 40% of all food in the US never gets eaten. Save the food. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Lilith Dorsey, the author of Love Magic, over 250 spells and potions for getting it, keeping it, and making it last. Now, we were talking about your path in the first segment of the show, and many of our listeners are familiar with the names Santeria and Vodun, but may have misconceptions about them. Please share the history and practice of these traditions.
I think there are a lot of misconceptions. They come from Africa. In my first book, Voodoo and Afro-Caribbean Paganism, I talk about how, you know, certain areas of people that were transported through slavery to Brazil and then later to this country and the Caribbean came from different areas in Africa and brought with them different beliefs, and they turned into different Afro-Caribbean, Afro-American traditions that still survive today. So, I mean, I think the biggest misconception, let's start with Haitian Vodou, because they got a lot of bad press. The biggest misconception about Haitian Vodou has to do with things like voodoo dolls, which we don't use, zombies, which exist in a very different context, you know, all this dark magic, which I really attribute to, well, two things, really. Obviously, bad publicity that we've gotten from Hollywood and things like that, but also in the sense of, if you think about, okay, this is a religion that enslaved people, you know, really cultivated and grew up with in this land. So at the time they were being, you know, enslaved, beaten, raped, tortured, their children were being stolen. So you're going to end up with a magical system that has some pretty heavy duty spells and hexes and curses, because some pretty heavy duty horrible stuff was happening to them. So that's one of the reasons I think it's. But in reality, it's a religion that's based on ancestor worship. It's based on things that not actually nature, but I consider it a pagan system in the sense of we deal with Loa, who are, for lack of a better word, gods and goddesses that are representations of the natural forces of the universe. We speak of Ogun, and he's the Ashe, or the energy of metal. We speak of Urzuli, and she's the Ashe of the waterfall. So there's these different energies that are given offerings and, you know, feasts, and we enter into relationships with them.
Absolutely. And you mentioned about Haiti, and you mentioned about zombies. I remember reading many years ago a book called The Serpent and the Rainbow, and how this concept of the zombie came about because of the government trying to control people.
Yes, in addition to, I mean, Wade Davis in that book, he was an ethnobotanist from Harvard, and, you know, I mentioned my priestess Bonnie Devlin, she went to Harvard Divinity, not ethnobotany, but it was a formula that they used, yes, as a method of social control. It was used by the government, but before that, Zora Neale Hurston, who many people are more familiar with because of her writings and her novels, like Their Eyes Are Watching God, but she was a voodoo priestess as well, and she went down and she uncovered the formula way before Wade Davis did and wrote Serpent and the Rainbow, and basically she described it as being a method of social control. So if there was somebody objectionable in the community, somebody who was doing stuff they shouldn't to, you know, children or old ladies or something, there really wasn't the same kind of forces to deal with them. So you would give them this herbal concoction, they would appear to be dead, and then what you do is after they had the funeral, you dig them up and you transport them, you know, off into the jungle somewhere.
And what about the Duvalier government at the time? Weren't they using some of this for control and fear?
Well, they killed a lot of people who were practicing priests. And then they also, I think, took on a lot of the practices in order to terrify the people that were left. That's the short version of it. Yes, there was terrible oppression. There was terrible, I don't even know what to call it. It was like really misuse of the religion in a way as a social control to keep the people in line.
Talk a little bit more about the different entities, the different beings, the spirits that we give names to, like Oshun, and the relationship. How do you have a worship service, or how do you worship these entities?
I practice primarily New Orleans voodoo. I have a New Orleans voodoo house, style house here in Brooklyn. And our worship service, the order of service, would consist of, we'd start out with some drumming and some dancing. We would well, even before that, we'd create an elaborate altar or shrine, which would have all of the favorite items for that Loa or Orisha, their favorite foods, their favorite drinks, their favorite, you know, what they like to smoke, you know, things like that, their favorite colors, their favorite flowers, their favorite herbs, all of those things would be present. And then we would have drumming and dancing and songs, and then it would move on and there would be a feast. So that's the short version, but that said, a short version can last anywhere from 2 to 10 hours. Usually during the service, you know, the dancing and the drumming, sometimes people will become under the influence of spirit and messages will come through, things like that.
I know I've seen ecstatic dancing taking place in circumstances like that. Is that something that happens often?
Yes, and I am a practitioner of ritual dance. Let me figure out how to say this properly. I am a choreographer and a dancer for Dr. John, the jazz musician who many people are familiar with, yes. And there are ritual ways to do dances, and they can bring about contact with spirit or Loa or Orisha. Yeah, Dr. John's a wonderful person. It's such an honor to work for him and with him.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time, too.
Yes, he has.
How old is Mac, anyway?
I want to say like 73. Watch, I'm going to get it wrong.
not important, because he's timeless and his music is timeless. So we don't have to worry about that. Now, you had mentioned about your family lineage, and you have the Afro-Caribbean, and you also have Celtic, and you mentioned Sicilian. How do you combine all those things together?
Carefully, L-Y, as they used to say. I think it's not as difficult as you would think it would be. You know, if it's a certain feast day, like say St. Joseph's Day is coming up in March. That was a big feast for Sicilians. It's also a big feast in New Orleans, and it's a big feast among African Americans, you know. So I think for me, when it comes to St. Joseph's Day, I'll make one of my grandfather's favorite recipes from Sicily, and then I'll make one of the traditional things that they would make in New Orleans. So the altar would be set up. Both of those things can go on the altar, images of St. Joseph. People sometimes equate St. Joseph with Papalegba, but he does have other feast days as well. But for those of you who are thinking that out there.
And in reality, there's so many different cultures that actually do something in a similar vein. I know being in Asia quite frequently, I'll see a family put together an altar for their ancestors and with their favorite foods and flowers and fragrances and incenses, and celebrate the spirit of their departed loved ones that way. And I think that's something that is sort of natural to each of us in our very basic cultures, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I think that honoring from where we came from, you know, I like to remind people that our ancestors are the people that loved us and they cared about us the most, and they have a really big stake in making sure that we're prosperous and safe and healthy and happy and all those wonderful things. And I agree with you 100% about Asian culture. I was out, one of my goddaughters was performing with her Kung Fu group for Chinese New Year last weekend. So I was out watching all of those ancestor ceremonies with the money and the food and the incense and the drums and all of that.
And it's all based on energy, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. I mean, in Afro-Caribbean traditions, we call it Ashe, which is our sacred life force. You know, if you were in an Asian-based tradition, you might call it Chi.
Absolutely. And every culture in every part of the world, in every language, there's a word for that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think that the way people honor it and nurture it is also very similar.
Absolutely. Because it is the essence of who we are. It's the essence of our life force. And whether you call it Ki or Chi or Kiun what is it in Greek? I forget. Pneuma? Is it Pneuma in Greek? I can't remember the terminology for it, but you look at it.
I was going to say it's all Greek to me. But
thank you for picking that up for me. That's a save on your behalf. Thank you very much for doing that. So when discussing magic and spell casting and energy manipulation, I've often heard the admonition that the work cannot interfere with the free will of others. Now, is this true? And if so, what are the ramifications of trying to impose our will on others?
I think that's definitely a danger when talking about love magic or thinking about love magic. And I don't think it's a good idea if you're trying to impede upon somebody else's free will. You know, there are a lot of spells in my book for self-love, obviously, you know, that's your own will. There's a lot of spells for attraction, where you're just trying to attract the best love to you. And then there's a lot of spells that couples can do together. You know, when I started thinking about the book, I got a lot of questions from people about, you know, is this going to approach spiritual rape? And I really thought about that seriously, because that's not something I would want to do to anybody. And I certainly wouldn't want to have it done to me. So I think that it's very important to be mindful about what it is we're trying to do. And also, you know, I've been doing this a long time as a practitioner. I know that most people, when they want something, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily good for them, and they'd be better off concentrating just on bringing the best love to them for them.
Absolutely. Rather than focusing on someone and thinking they're the one and finding out later on that they were definitely not the one, creating that energy of attracting the right person, not just any person.
Definitely, that's what you should want. You know, like I said, I have a lot of clients. I've been doing it for a long time. And most of the time, by the time the work is done, after a month or so, the people don't want the person anymore, even though they could have them back.
Absolutely. And we're going to be talking more about your book and some of the wonderful spells. My guest tonight, Lilith Dorsey, her book is called Love Magic, Over 250 Spells and Potions for Getting It, Keeping It, and Making It Last. Lilith, please tell our listeners how they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
Oh, they can get my book pretty much anywhere books and ebooks are sold. They can get it on Amazon. They can get it on the Wiser site. It's published by Wiser Books. They can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it anywhere. And you can get a hold of me all over the place as well. You can get a hold of me on Twitter, Instagram. It's Lilith Dorsey.
And do you have a website per se?
I do have a website. It's blackbridget.com. BlackBrigit.
Wonderful. And we'll be back with Lilith Dorsey and more about love magic after these messages on the OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. How would you like to meet an endangered manatee? You can by joining Save the Manatee Club's Adopt the Manatee program. You can't take them home, but you can get to know your new manatee friend through the photo, biography, and information the club sends to you. And you can read updates on your manatee in the club newsletter. More importantly, your contribution goes to programs that are working to save manatees from extinction. It's easy to help. Call 1-800-432-JOIN.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Lilith Dorsey, author of Love Magic, over 250 spells and potions for getting it, keeping it, and making it last. So, Lilith, please tell us, how did your book Love Magic come to be?
Well, I started out, originally, I wanted to sell a cookbook full of aphrodisiac recipes because my daughter's a big foodie. She works for a Michelin star chef. I'm a big foodie. And I really think that cooking is one of the simplest but also the most magical ways that we can transform ourselves. And we got to do it 3 times a day. We got to put food into our body. So we might as well have that be as fantastic and powerful experience as possible. So, but nobody wanted to buy a cookbook from me. So... It ended up expanding into a book full of spells and potions and rituals. And there's still a lot of recipes in there, too, but just a whole bunch of different ways that people can bring love to them.
I can't believe that people didn't want to have an aphrodisiac cookbook. I would be the first online at the book signing for that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's still plenty of recipes in there, but I thought it would have been a great idea, you know, just different sort of magical things that people can do in the kitchen.
Now, how does Love Magic differ from other books on the subject?
Well, this is really, it's both a cross-cultural exploration, which I think is different from what else is out there because other things only concentrate on one tradition or another tradition, whereas this really, like I said, I come from a wide variety of backgrounds and there's a wide variety of backgrounds and traditions represented in here. So if somebody's Asatru and they're more comfortable dealing with Freya and Love Magic, then they can do that with the spells in this book. If they're in a Lukumi or Santeria house and they want to deal with Oshun and Love Magic, well, there's spells in here for that. And then there's also spells that are, you know, beyond any particular goddess or tradition. There's spells in there that are just herbs and spells that are just oils or spells where people can use crystals, you know, and connect that way. So it has a little bit of anything and everything for people to get Love Magic.
So tell me some, I'm really intrigued by these aphrodisiac recipes. Share a couple of those with us, please.
Oh, okay. Well, there's...
I do my best work in the kitchen. That's the reason why I'm saying that.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, there's a chocolate-covered strawberries recipe. I mentioned my Scottish ancestors on the... crest was their strawberries, and we were the Fraser clan, so we obviously had strawberries. But when you look at it, you know, strawberries are one of the most lusty aphrodisiac foods throughout history. You know, you look at them. The thing about the aphrodisiac foods is they say if you look at it and it kind of looks like either masculine or feminine parts, then chances are it's going to be an aphrodisiac food. So, you know, strawberries obviously look very sensual, but also they're really good for you for a food standpoint with vitamin C and other things like that, that'll give you vitality and energy when you're in the process. And then chocolate, oh my gosh, chocolate, I feel like, is the legendary aphrodisiac. So my recipe for chocolate dipped strawberries, it's like two great tastes coming together and having a blessing through those tastes.
Absolutely. Is there something in cacao that has an aphrodisiac property?
Yes, that's definitely, well, it produces the same chemicals in the brain as being in love or falling in love.
Endorphins. So,
yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And what about the fabled oyster?
Well, again, oysters have a lot of zinc, so a lot of masculine aphrodisiac boost foods have a lot of zinc in them because that's supposed to increase vitality for male parts and also, you know, blood flow down there. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's how oysters end up getting a reputation in that way. But again, if you look at it magically, it's something, it comes from the sea, so it has that kind of strong vitality, that protector vibe, that like be able to weather every storm kind of energy.
Absolutely. And are there certain foods that are absolute no-nos for love?
I think everybody's different. You know, I always like to use the example of a peanut allergy. And I was doing a event down in New Orleans. I was giving a bunch of lectures. And the cab driver, he's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm giving a lecture on aphrodisiac foods. And, you know, we're going to be talking about my new book. And he was like, well, I think peanuts are an aphrodisiac. I put peanuts in everything. And he starts giving me his recipe for, like, peanut pie that gets his wife all hot or something like that. But as we know, there's lots of people out there that have a peanut allergy. So I feel like, you know, for some people, peanuts could really be a no-no. And for other people, this guy puts it in his breakfast cereal when he wants to get his wife going.
Absolutely. And then obviously foods that make us drowsy or things like turkey and, you know, with tryptophan and other things that make us drowsy, those are absolute turnoffs for love, right?
Yes. Yes, that wouldn't be my first choice unless you were trying to do something where you're doing some sort of connection spell with your partner when you were asleep.
Ah, wait a second. Let's go back to that then. So Thanksgiving, we have our turkey, and what do we do afterwards?
You could do a connection spell. There's an astral travel spell where you and your partner could go somewhere together. Or if you were apart at the holiday, then you could astral travel to each other after the turkey when you were in dreamland.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with that, how does one project themselves into that realm?
Well, I think like everything else, you have to go through trial and error. I know for me that it helps if I start out in that space, visualizing the place where I'm trying to go, visualizing the person I'm trying to connect with in that space. It helps, again, obviously, if I've been there frequently or, you know, it's something I have good mental recall of. And then it just has to do with meditation and focusing and then testing yourself, you know, see if you can see something in that area that, and then get that verified by the person later.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful way for lovers to experiment. And even if someone's relationship has gone a little bit soft or stale, perhaps a meeting in the astral realm is something that would spice them back up again.
I think it does. I think it helps you to connect with your partner on a different level, literally.
Now, in love magic, you advise clearing, cleansing, and healing before pursuing any of the other practices. Why?
Well, because clearing, you don't want anything that's in your space. Same with cleansing. You don't want anything that's in your space from a past relationship or maybe negativity from, you know, a relative or a guest that had been over in your home. So you want your home to be clean and clear and a real positive attitude for attracting love in your life. And you want yourself to be clean and clear, and that's where the healing comes in. You don't want to bring any negativity from past relationships. You know, I know my sister's not listening, so I can use her as an example.
Go ahead.
My sister and her husband, they fight a lot. And I said to her, why do you fight a lot? She's like, well, the whole time we were growing up, every couple we ever saw always fought a lot. So in her mind, she thinks that couples are supposed to fight a lot. I, on the other hand, didn't see that as a positive thing. So in my relationships, I try not to fight a lot. But I think that if that's not something you want, then you need to make a conscious choice that this is something you're not going to have in your life and your future relationships. So that's where the healing can come in.
My wife and I are both magical people, and we a second marriage for both of us. And in our engagement process, we did a ritual by the sea. We went down to Perth Amboy, New Jersey, out into the end of the extension into the Atlantic Ocean there, and we brought with us some rose petals. And what we did was we took each rose petal and we imbued it with the energy of a past relationship, and we expressed gratitude, we expressed forgiveness, and we expressed letting go of whatever energy or attachment may have been connected to that relationship. And then we took the rose petals and cast them into the sea. And by the time we did it, we went through about, I guess, 5,000 rose petals, but not really that many. But it was such an uplifting and binding experience for the two of us. It was just absolutely wonderful.
Oh, that sounds so lovely. And it must have done wonders for your connection. That's beautiful.
Well, actually, we have the most intense connection that any couple in history have ever had. We've been married together. We had 5 total ceremonies, including our legal ceremony.
That's great.
What happened is we both met at the New Seminary of New York. I was graduating and she was coming in. And the relationship didn't ensue for a couple of years. But when it did, we said, you know, when we're starting to thinking about marriage, and we said, we have so many friends who are going to be pissed off if we don't get them involved in our wedding ceremony. So one friend gave us a Balinese engagement ceremony.
Oh, nice.
We had a hand fasting by Phyllis Carat.
I love Phyllis.
Phyllis is wonderful. We had a couple of other different ceremonies. And finally, the ceremony with the legal ceremony was with a teacher who had actually taught both of us in the school. each of the ceremonies, some were spiritual, some were religious, some were just plain magical, but each of them built upon the other. And we looked at each other after the actual legal marriage and said, we are together forever. And we see ourselves as soulmates. We see ourselves as twin flames anyway, so.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
We are together forever. So anybody, if you find the right one, do the right thing. And in love magic, you're going to find a lot of right things to do to make that work for you. Now, you also advise in your book taking warm soaking baths. And I saw you mention several of them. I happen to love warm soaking baths. How do baths become magical?
Well, I think you're immersing yourself in the water, so that's a magical act. And then when you add oils or crystals or herbs to the process, then that allows you to sort of get all of those magics all over you through water, which is an element of love.
Absolutely. And what about some fragrances? Tell us about some of the fragrances or crystals that you add to the water.
Well, rose quartz is one of my favorite ones because it works for both self-love and healing and also attracting love to you. So that's one of my favorite crystals to use. And oils, oh, there's so many. Jasmine, gardenia, ylang ylang, all of those things. Rose, obviously, is something that's fantastic for love. So all of those, and they all have slightly different things that they do for you. And in my book, I give you detailed instructions about which is best to go with which and things like that.
And what's the best cleanse?
What's the best cleanse? Crystal or oil, or it's hard to say. I mean, oil-wise, I like frankincense and I like myrrh. You know, let's go with traditionals. There's a reason people have been using them for, you know, 1,000 years plus. And for crystals, it depends. If you're really trying to get something off you, I would go with black tourmaline because it can absorb but also change that energy into something positive.
I wear black tourmaline as a pendant every day of my life. I never take it off.
It's great. I love it.
I love black tourmaline. It has the tendency, not only does it fend off negative energy, but it also helps you to see the negativity in yourself and release it. And I think it's a very, very special crystal. And my guest is very special. Her name is Lilith Dorsey. Her book is called Love Magic, over 250 spells and potions for getting it, keeping it, and making it last. And we'll talk more about love spells when we come back after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I'd build secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I'd do the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Lilith Dorsey, author of the book Love Magic, over 250 spells and potions for getting it, keeping it, and making it last. So we were talking about the various things we can do to prepare ourselves in terms of cleansing and clearing and wonderful warm baths. Let's start with self-love, which I believe is a starting point from which all quality relationships stem. Please share some examples of spells and potions for self-love.
Well, I think my favorite one that's in the book, there's a three roses spell where you take a rose of Jericho, which I want to say, what's the other name for it? Resurrection plant is the another common name for it. And that you can get them anywhere, pretty much. I saw them at Trader Joe's last week, so, or you can order it online or something like that. But basically, it comes back to life. So what you're going to do is you're going to put it in a bowl, you're going to put rose water on top of it, and then you're going to put a piece of rose quartz in the water, and you're going to leave that out under the full moon. And as it grows back to life and comes to life again, it's going to heal some of those past things you've had in love and also allow you to open yourself up to self-love.
Wonderful. How about another example for our listeners?
Oh, okay. Here's my favorite. There's a happiness bath in there. And I do this one almost all the time. I even take it and use it as a spray. And basically it contains Florida water, which is not water from Florida. It is, you can get it at the supermarket, you can get it at the drugstore. It's a special preparation of it's a secret blend, but it's at least 11 oils. There's bergamot in there, there's clove, there's some other traditional oils and things in there and perfumes. And they've been making it the same way for 200 years. You're going to put that together with rose water and some amber, and you're going to use that in your bath. And that really just all those scents and energies come together and make you feel happiness and joy.
And what can we do as a meditation for self-love while we're using those wonderful baths and elements?
I really like to meditate with crystals. And I also, in the book, talk a little bit about mindfulness and meditation and chakras. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of good that can be done by focusing and having mindfulness and meditating on clearing and cleansing out your heart chakra when you're trying to work on self-love and any kind of love, actually, and attracting love to you.
And at the same time, forgiving yourself for any mistakes, either real or perceived in the past, of making wrong choices, letting go of all of that negative binding that we sometimes attach to our hearts in the process of living and learning in relationships.
I think so. And I think, again, like you said, it's easy to get stuck in old relationships. I've got a lot of things in the book that people can do when they're trying to get rid of those old relationships, to break those ties. You know, I have a spell where you can use Barbie dolls and separate them further and further apart. And I think that, you know, I mean, it works magically, but it also works psychologically. You see yourself separating from this person that you're not with anymore.
That Ken bastard, huh?
Yeah. That dirty Ken bastard.
And what about finding a new romantic partner?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways to do that. One of the best, I think, is, well, all right, I'm going to go with the straight up easiest one everybody can do, the hot pants ginger spell.
Whoa.
Now, the hot pants ginger spell, you take a piece of ginger and you dress it with oils. I mean, patchouli you could use if that's something you like. You know, if somebody wants to substitute something from my book, that's fine. Maybe you like patchouli, or maybe you spent a whole bunch of time around hippies. I'm an old deadhead, so I really don't like patchouli a lot of the time. So when I do the hot pants ginger spell, I dress it with jasmine, which will bring sweet love and that kind of like flowery, deep romantic connection. And then you stick it in your pocket. You wrap it up and you stick it in your pocket. And that'll help work on, you know, talking about chakras. It'll work on your root chakra. It'll work on your parts down below. And it will help invigorate you and also attract something good to you.
Brings the fire down below, huh?
Yes, yes. Fire down below.
Give us one more for a romantic partner, please.
Okay. This one I love. We're talking Brooklyn here. You know, I grew up in, well, I grew up in Bay Ridge, and then I went to school in Park Slope, and anybody who's from Park Slope knows you end up spending a lot of time in Brooklyn Heights. And there's a St. Anne's church there attached to a St. Anne's school. So St. Anne is a traditional hoodoo thing that people use to sort of petition for getting love. So you go to St. Anne. The petition is, St. Anne, I need a man or a woman.
Cool.
You leave an offering of money, traditionally 3 pennies, cinnamon, and some sweet orange oil. So there's 2 kinds of orange oil, sweet and bitter. You need the sweet orange oil. So if you know the qualities you want, take that on a piece of paper, wrap that around the pennies, and then use it as an offering. Say what you want out loud, and then turn your back and don't turn around.
And for those listeners who don't know the significance of the 3 pennies.
3 pennies, well, we usually do things in an odd number. You wouldn't leave 1 because that's not a multiple. So 3 is pretty much a safe bet. 3 is also a number for Eligua or for Legba. So there's a sense of you leave 3 pennies in the crossroads to sort of open up your path to possibility, to open up the crossroads.
Absolutely. Now, what about finding new life in a stale relationship?
New life in a stale relationship. Well, I think what I would like to talk about for that, I mentioned the chocolate strawberries recipe. There's a lot of foods that you can use when you're with your partner, which I think are great to sort of bring you together in union with some kind of food. One of my favorite spells in the book is for Oshun, drunken oranges. Now, Oshun, as we mentioned before, she's a goddess of love, of nurturing, of caring, of money, of marriage, of gold. You know, all these fantastic things. I'm a daughter of Oshun, can you tell?
Absolutely.
So the Oshun drunken orange recipe helps you salute her and sort of welcome her into your life, and hopefully she'll come and bring her blessings. So you use orange and lemon peels. You put it together with sugar. You put it with an orange liqueur like Grand Marnier, and then you soak 5 large oranges in it. You know, you heat it up gently and then cool it down and serve it cold.
And for our Hindu listeners out there, you will relate Oshun to Mahalakshmi, because she is the goddess of love and prosperity and domestic tranquility and all of those wonderful things. So every culture has something of this nature in it, some deity, some example that you can look to find that happiness again in your life. How about one more for the stale relationships? I'll give you my solution for stale relationships.
One more for stale relationships. Okay. This one has to do with tarot cards. I read a lot of tarot cards, I mentioned. I read other things as well, but this is to bring you together or closer together. And you use the lover's card from the tarot, which is traditionally an image that people, I think, associate with love. A lot of them have people embracing on it. But it also, on a deeper level, has to do with balance. And I think that's one of the things that is a constant issue in long-term relationships, because as people grow and change, you still need to maintain balance between the two of you. So what you're going to do is you're going to take the card and you're going to put it inside a jar. You're going to fill that with orange oil, rose oil, lemon oil, sandalwood oil, spring water, and May rainwater. Now, I'm going to tell you, since it's in bulk today, I'm going to tell you the significance of May rainwater. Now, when you're talking about traditional witchcraft or Wicca, the year is usually divided up into the time of year that follows Beltane, which is the 1st of May, and the time of year that follows Samhain. So right near now, we're in a time of Samhain, so it's a darker time. And then, you know, May, the lusty month of May, when Beltane or Beltinna runs around, then that's when the wheel of life has turned to a different kind of brighter energy. So that's why we use May rainwater, to honor Beltane or Beltinna.
And we're going to run through the groves on May, the lusty month of May. But
yeah.
for those people who are in a relationship, been together for a long time, and perhaps things are a little bit stale, here's my recommendation and advice. Everybody's working on their careers. Everybody's working on what they have to do and worrying about budgets and money. Give yourselves a half an hour every day before you go to bed just to look at each other, touch each other, appreciate each other. If love making ensues, that's great, but it doesn't have to. Just give yourself that comfort, that touch, that look that you know that there is the person who loves you more than anyone else in the world, and you love that person more than anyone else in the world. And then that's a half an hour every night, and then one night a week, date night. Absolutely, positively, everything else gets turned off, including the cell phones, including the neighbors, including the family, and you go out and you have a great dinner, go to a movie, do something together that you really enjoy, go to a dead concert, well, no more dead concerts, yeah, maybe a Swamp Rat concert, but go to something that you really enjoy together, and then go home, embrace each other, and spend the entire night making love, and I guarantee you that will restore a stale relationship. So, Lilith, what would you like readers to take away from your wonderful book, Love Magic?
That there's ways that they can have more love in their life. I think that sometimes people think, oh, well, it's as good as it's going to get, or there's nothing they can do. And that's not true. I think that something is possible for everyone, and something better is possible for everyone. We have a goddess called Aida Wado, and her message is to imagine things better than you can possibly imagine. And that's what I want people to take away, that they can imagine and have a life that's better than they could possibly imagine.
Absolutely. And I think that's the best advice that you could give to your readers, that there it is. It's there for you if you know how to do it and if you have the heart and the energy to do it, right?
Yes.
My wonderful guest tonight, Lilith Dorsey, author of the book Love Magic, over 250 spells and potions for getting it, keeping it, and making it last. Lilith, please tell our listeners one more time how they can get your book and find out more about you.
All right. They can get my book pretty much anywhere books are found, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, all of those places. They can get it from the publisher, Wiser Publications, and they can get a hold of me through my Facebook author page or through Twitter or through Instagram. I want to get Insta-famous, everybody, so come on. Or they can just go to my blog, Voodoo Universe.
Voodoo Universe? What is that?
Voodoo Universe. It's on Pathios.
Oh, it's on Pathios. That's right. I forgot about that. Pathios.com, right?
Yes.
And then Voodoo Universe. Lilith, thank you so much for joining us and bringing this wonderful information for our listeners. And with Valentine's Day around the corner, I think it's so important that we especially focus on the self-love. And then once we have that in place, then extending that out to the special partner that we're all searching for and looking for. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you, Victor. It was a pleasure.
This was a lot of fun. And thank you all for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a great week, everyone, and a great night.